Welcome to Spectrum from China America Hit Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories about China, our Chinese communities, and people with stories to tell about their Chinese lifestyle experiences. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Welcome back. This is Steve Warren on Spectrum. We have our second week of a two-parter here on Spectrum. We're speaking with Irene Tia, who is a cross-cultural connector, helping folks on both sides of the Pacific between China and the United States get accustomed to how each other do things. When we left off last time, we were talking about schools, the academic environment, both Chinese and American. And I know that one thing that seems clear is that in Chinese schooling and in training in China particularly, there seems to be a lot of emphasis on winning awards, getting trophies.
Yes.
People have to have a wall full of banners and trophies and plaques if they are a pianist or if they're a ping pong player or a gymnast before they're ever going to get considered for anything higher. Do you think that perhaps Chinese children in the United States or Asian children in the U.S. with Asian parents are looking at those test scores as if they're trophies that
have to
be won?
Absolutely. And I think, again, that mindset, you know, it's hard. It's hard to unprogram something like that, especially if your parents are coming from China, you know, and have been here. Even if they've been here for 20, 30 years, that's the only type of education system they know. So they have no idea, unless they've gone to the school system here in the U.S., how different it is. So a lot of times they see the grades, and they emphasize on activities that are very individual based. So it's all about me, my competition, how I can do better than the other person. So like a piano or like golf as a sport. When reality, a lot of the things that we emphasize in the American society, especially when you look at higher education for colleges and then post-college, especially when it comes to getting a job, it's all about teamwork. And so that's what's so interesting, because even though a lot of these Asian students, they're brilliant, you know, they go to Harvard, they go to Yale, and then if you look at the statistics, a lot of times you don't see a lot of them running companies. And so there's been this disconnect between the academic side of studying, you know, kind of being very bookwormish versus being very social and having sort of what I call IQ versus EQ, right? And the EQ isn't as emphasized at home. And so that's something that I think slowly I'm trying to help parents understand, that that's not just a cultural difference, but also, you know, a huge academic difference in our systems. And if they want their children to succeed in the U.S., it's really beyond what they do for studying and exams.
So do you think that the children, the students right now, you can just take them aside and say, we have to change this, or you can just take the parents aside and say, you have to do this differently? There's obviously a process. This is ingrained.
Right.
How do you start effecting that change? How do you start getting people to think 180 degrees away from what they've been taught?
Well, absolutely. It's just the level of awareness and being able to talk to them and make them realize, sort of putting them in the shoes of, well, you know, if you really want your child to succeed, it's not just about doing well on tests and memorizing things and being able to regurgitate. You want them to be able to think on their own. And if And a lot of times when I, especially when I'm on long flights to China, and I talk to these parents who are really, you know, they're excited about sending their kids to the U.S., but they want to do all the work for the kids. You know, they want to do all the application or hire an agent. And I have to stop them and say, wait, 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 let's talk about this. What good would that do your child? Because don't you want them to think on their own eventually and make good decisions, right? Because you can't be with them 100% of the time, day in, day out. And so when, especially if they're going to college, you need to make sure that, yes, they have a level of independence, but they're making the right decisions. And so when you talk to parents, especially, you know, I can speak Chinese and I try to give them examples, they kind of think, wait a second, that is kind of logical. And there's a lot of things that they're missing the process of choosing schools if they do that work for their child.
Where do school systems fit into this? And is there any sort of plan, or is there any sort of persons like yourself, maybe more on the academic side, that can help school systems adjust both the parent and the child in the new learning environment so that they can expect different things?
The answer is there's not enough people. The good thing is that there are people out there like me that, you know, work for the International Student Services Department of a university, or they are the what I call sort of the cross-cultural counselor. But unfortunately, there are more and more students of Chinese descent coming from China, but also here in the U.S. And so they're running out of resources, and just, you know, it's hard to manage all those students when you just have one or two people. But the good thing is our education system is realizing the importance of globalization, the importance of having the diversity of having these students come from all over the world, not just China, but in particular, the Chinese and Asian students have different learning and, you know, study skills that they need to kind of address. And so there are more people doing that. In fact, I just came back from the NAFSA conference, which is sort of an international education forum. And that's one of the big issues of understanding that these cultural differences do sometimes impact the classroom, and it can have a negative effect on campus because, number one, the dynamics change, or number two, the student goes back home and says, that was a horrible experience I had. And that's what you don't want, because that changes the yield of a campus in terms of their recruiting. That also changes how everybody views international students in general. And so what I try to do is work with educators and implement programs that are cross-cultural or improve the types of programs that they have and just kind of tweak them so that it better suits some of the students coming from China.
Let's put the shoe on the other foot for just a moment. Let's say you're an American businessman and you're going to China to work.
Sure.
You're going to be there for a while. There's a lot of, you know, expat people that live in China running companies, doing business. They have children,
right,
that are over there going into the classrooms in China. What are they likely going to experience, and what are they going to find to be winning and losing propositions in that environment?
Well, what's interesting is a lot of the expatriates or the Westerners and foreigners that go to China end up going to the American or Western schools. And that's very interesting because a lot of those school systems do replicate what we have here. And in fact, a lot of Chinese are getting into those kind of schools for their local children. However, there are a lot of, and becoming, I guess, more of expat families that are looking at local school systems. The only issue is there are so many more people. So a class size is probably enormous compared to the U.S. You might have anywhere from, you know, 40 or 50, 80 students, and that's considered small, and then upwards into the thousands. And so it's hard because it's such a different language, and it's hard for the parents to be able to help the students. But it's a much different rigorous program in the sense that a lot of the things they do is memorization. And the characters of in Chinese language is all about, you know, stroke by stroke copying and memorizing how that character is created. And so it applies to the rest of their curriculum. And after a while, it is a combination of bringing some of the Western education. So like these schools that are American schools, they do a lot of more activities, team-based type of work. So that's sort of a better immersion of the two, where they can still have their students learn, you know, their kids learn Chinese, but then also get a dose of the American school system there locally.
Our guest on Spectrum this week is Irene Tia. It's the second week of a two-part series. We're talking about cross-cultural connecting, and she's a person that works with folks on both sides of the Pacific Ocean in trying to work out some of the differences and the difficulties in conducting business and personal lives and everything in between. In our remaining moments that we have, let's try to project ahead. What do you see as the next couple of years, the issues that are going to be dominant between the relationship between U.S., China, and doing business and relating between the two cultures?
I think business-wise, this relationship is going to be increasingly important. It's almost hard to separate the two, and I think it'll be great to be able to have both countries take the world stage and lead, you know, lead us to whatever the next century foresees. But politically, it's kind of tough because a lot of times, you know, China becomes sort of the scapegoat in our political system and with all of our politicians. But I feel that, you know, we are very much entangled. These two countries, no other time but now, are quite sort of, you know, on their way, and it's to really working together and collaborating. I think that there's going to be more harm done if we decide to kind of take our own sides versus working together. And so I foresee a future where there is going to be a lot more opportunities for us in the U.S. as well as for the Chinese if we were to work together, which is why it's a great place to be right now to do what I'm doing.
Any advice, any last-minute sampler you could stitch into a frame and hang on the wall for someone wanting to do business in the Chinese environment?
Well, doing business in China, again, is an emphasis on relationships. And sometimes, as a good friend of mine who just wrote a book has mentioned, you know, going to China is like going through the Forbidden City. You might think that you went through one door and established a great relationship, but there are so many other doors and gates that you have to go through. And so patience is a virtue there. And if you spend the right time, the right right place on building those relationships, then it's going to be very rewarding in the long term. But if you're thinking of something very short term, then it's going to be very tough.
The Guanxi wins again.
The Guanxi wins all the time.
Thank you very much, Irene, for joining us on China Marriott Radio. It's been great having you with us. Hope you'll come back and see us again sometime.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
If folks would like to have information about you and what you do, where can they go to find that?
Well, I have a website. It's called crossculturalconnector.com. You can also type in, it's abbreviated as askccc3c's.com, and you can have all my information there and what I do as well. And so the profile is on, and I hope a lot of people will send me questions and emails.
That's askascc.com.
Correct.
Thank you very much for coming with us.
Thank you, Steve.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Hit Radio, a weekly public service program that features news, information, and stories about China, our Chinese communities, and people with stories to tell about their Chinese lifestyle experiences. If you have some ideas for future topics and guests to be featured on Spectrum, we'd appreciate your suggestions. Email us at news@chinaamericahitradio.com. Then listen every Sunday for Spectrum at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, exclusively on China America Hit Radio.